All right. One more time for Julie Reagans and Curtis Pringle. Very, very, very happy and so glad they could join us today. And boy, oh boy, Superwoman. I don't know about you. Yes, you are, Leah Finn, a mom. Happy Mother's Day. I didn't know that my mother was a superwoman, really, the whole, and I still don't, until after she passed. I obviously grew up with her and knew many of the things that she did, but there were so many things I did not know about her. She worked most of the time when we were growing up. My dad was, doing corporate ladder things, and we moved a lot. He traveled a lot, so he wasn't home a lot. She taught school. Many of you know she taught piano lessons, and she did that all the way up until about the time she was, 78, 79, still teaching piano lessons. Until she couldn't anymore, when she lost her capabilities to remember things and remember people. But it was the stuff afterwards that I'll share in a little bit that I didn't know about her that I can look back now. She's been gone almost 4 years. And the more I learn about her, the more I realize she was really an incredible superwoman. And I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to be able to say that now. Thank you. Thanks, Mom. One of the things, my indication of the presence of God is usually giant gusts of wind. Through different portions throughout my life, when there's been a big decision to be made or there's something swirling that I need to look at, and I'm going through a growth spurt, as it were, and I will always hear, or if I'm outside, it will be like a breeze out of nowhere, and like not a cloud in the sky kind of thing. I'll share that very short story with you. That's how we ended up with one of our dogs, our big dog. Cindy and I had only been going out a short amount of time, and I had lost a dog that I'd had for 14 years about a year prior to that. She was like, let's go to the shelter. I was like, nope, not going to do it. And one Saturday, we decided we were going to go drink beer because the Austin Homebrew Shop was having a grand reopening, and I used to brew beer. And she's like, well, do you want to go to the shelter before we go there? And I was like, nope, I don't. I want to go listen to the Oompa Band. I want to have a couple of beers. I want to have a couple of brats. Call it a good day. So we go to the beer store, and lo and behold, some very, very intelligent, very smart man who worked at the beer store brought two puppies to the festival. And throughout the course of the day, there's kids playing with them, and, he had them in pens, and he'd already named them, and he, kind of thing. And somehow, after a couple of beers later in the afternoon, this stripy puppy ends up in my arms and goes to sleep. And I was like, nope. And just about then, a giant gust of wind blew up. And it was a March day, not a cloud in the sky, not a storm on the way. The kind of breeze that took tents over. And it did. And then it stopped. And I started to cry. And I went, yep, okay. Presence of God. As you've noticed today, if you go along those lines, the presence of God is here in full form today, blowing up on the hill as it always does. If you are here on any, and I know you haven't been, but if you come to walk the trails or you come to walk the labyrinth or just be on the property at the Peace Pole, you know there is always at least a little bit of a breeze up here. There's so many other things that are special about this place that we know, and you wouldn't be here otherwise, and we know that. So the mother of all, well, this morning was kind of the mother of all windstorms. That's the talk of my title, was the mother of all dot, dot, dot. The talk of my title. Did I say that? I did. The title of my what I'm saying to you today, the mother of all ... fill in the blank. And we had quite the thing. This, your podium took a face plant. I mean, we were not expecting it. The top fell off. It is full of rocks now. It's rocks on the top to hold things down. We couldn't use the microphone because the wind is so, it is blowing right up the hill right behind me. But if we think about the presence of God, and especially on this hill, the presence of God, the Divine Mother, just the green and the life on the acreage that we have up here. It is teeming with life up here all the time. Our wildlife team knows that. Our people that work on the trails, the Serenity Garden, we know, and the flowers and the, you know, everything that's going on in here. Would you agree that Mother Nature is probably the mother of all? Yes. Yes, amen. And so the lesson in that for me is always, I know that we probably all do, we spend a lot of time in nature when we want to be close, when we want to feel quiet and connected. And what I know is that the nature of nature, the divine givingness, the divine feminine, that is what nature is, the divine givingness. It is always giving of itself. Continuing to give as mothers do, as people who do the work of mothering. There is that within us that is always wanting to give more. And always in the direction of more life. Always in the direction of expanding life, in spiraling up, in evolving in life. That is the thing where people really embrace. And it's all the place, also the place where people get really stuck. And we get stuck in that place of the things, you know, it's this way, we've done it this way, we're comfortable, we don't want to change, we don't want to stretch, we don't want to have to do any work, interior work. But we are imbued with that spirit that demands that of us. It demands that we grow and evolve because it is always moving in the direction of more and more life. We are not built to be stagnant. We are built to move through and be the vessels, be the place where spirit shows up to move, and it needs us, it wants us to express through us. And so it is always like this breeze behind us today, blowing at us, going, move forward, grow, grow. There's a story, and I know Judy Matejczyk, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? There's an old Buddhist saying about that, that the Spirit of God is always leaning over a blade of grass, even the smallest sprout coming out of the ground, encouraging it and saying, grow, grow. You're doing what you're here to do. If we are not familiar with what we're supposed to do or our purpose. You've heard me talk about this a lot, is what do? We get quiet. We go back to that place. We get still. We listen. We listen when the big old breeze comes and says, guess what? You got a puppy. You got a new puppy. We still have her. She's 11 years old. So the divine givingness of life to itself through us in order to continue to expand itself. It is the nature of the universe as a whole. As far back as we think we can count, we go back further than that. And that is my interpretation of it. It is that presence of love that is right here and right now that is always saying, yes, I'm giving you more, always. I'm giving you more, and I need you in human form to be that place to do this kind of expression. And we're in this beautiful dance together. We're in this lovely, lovely energy of a dance. The divine feminine is that place of nurturing. I don't know what I picked up, but I got some, who knows, windy thing. I was like, oh, what's this on my hand? It is a nurturing presence. It is the divine love. It is the infinite, unconditional love. Those of you sitting in the audience today that are mothers and grandmothers know that feeling. You'd do anything for your kid, wouldn't you? I am not a human mother. We have four leggeds that we would do anything in the world for. And it's that same divine urge to be nurturing, to be standing behind and encouraging and saying, grow, you can do this. You can do this. When I talked about my mother not knowing that, my not knowing that my mom was a superwoman, and learning later on that through my entire life, through my sisters and I, she was standing there saying, grow, encouraging in her way, which is a very difficult way to kind of understand sometimes. It really was, as some are laughing, and some of you probably know that. But in her way, she was able to do that. And one of those through the mother of all, we've heard the, what is the phrase? You can fill in the first part of the phrase, but blank is the mother of invention. The word is necessity. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes. My mother knew necessity. As I said, you know, she worked while my dad was also working. We had everything. We had the basics. We had a nice home. We were always in, you know, had nice clothes, and we had always had plenty of food on the table. But I, in hindsight, begin to see where my mom was the, you know, necessity was the mother of invention for her. Out of necessity, with three girls pretty close in age, kind of all kind of in diapers at the same time, one after the other, and then going through puberty kind of all about the same time. And necessity for her was something that I remember, and those of you who have maybe grew up in northern states where there was lots more snow than we got here in February. The necessity for my mom, here's the thing, because I was the youngest of three. She would, my oldest sister would get the new coat, the new boots, the new winter clothes. And the next year when she grew, she got passed to my middle sister who would get the next one. And then I would always get, by the third year, the boots usually had some holes in them and stuff. I didn't realize my mom didn't feel like we had the money to go buy all of us. So I got the bread bags. Do you know about that? Bread bags in my winter boots to keep my feet dry. Rubber boots, because they were, back in the day, they were not, you know, fancy lined, nice, stylish rubber things. They were rubber boots. And she would save the bread bags to put over our socks to keep our feet dry. Now, what she didn't know was you've had those on for a little while, and you're sitting in school, and your feet sweat. It's kind of nasty, and then you wear holes in the bread bags, and, you know, Wonder Bread, you're sticking out of the tops of your things. But that was necessity. That was necessity. And she was a very creative person. And as we grew older, of course, recognizing that me, the younger, and the middle sister were getting a little cranky about the fact that we kept getting the hand-me-downs, and the older sister was getting the nice clothes, and then we would start stealing those, you know, sisters, right? We're fighting over clothes. So out of necessity for her own sanity, my mother started making our clothes. And we all got the same jumper in the same material with the same blouse and the same color shoes until we realized, oh, this is not fun at all. We all look like each other, and this really kind of stinks. But if we look at not just my mother, but Mother Nature, out of necessity, it is always being creative. The science that we have, and we've been looking at the Newtonian science for the last 300 or so years, the belief was that we had endless resources, that nature would heal herself. Mother Nature, we could do whatever we wanted, cut down whatever we wanted, pollute whatever we wanted. It would take care of itself. And what we are finding out, of course, is that is not true. And out of necessity, it is my opinion that Mother Nature has been giving us a few signs to say, okay, I'm giving you everything I got. How about a little respect? How about a little respect for, I'm your mother too. And if I don't survive, neither do you. So out of necessity, that evolution happens. And we have seen the evolution of species and plants and other things. We have seen the way the oceans are changing and the tides are changing and the currents and the air and all of that kind of stuff. It is doing its job and it is evolving. And what I know is that it is always evolving with love, because the bigger picture, the divine feminine, that energy, the all of the infinite and unconditional love, is going to continue to give to us. That's what it does. It will nurture us. It will bump us. It'll show us the way. And it'll put us in a timeout like it has done for the last 14 months. You probably remember that joke from early on in the pandemic, which was, I think we just got sent to our rooms to reflect on what we have done. My mother was an incredible person, and I wish that I had the opportunity to have gotten to know her better while she was still here and still coherent. But what I do know is that by the time and at leading up to her passing, she had shifted to that place of being able to demonstrate, whether she was aware of it or not, that level of unconditional love. And so by the end of her life, when I did see her and she was still able to speak, all she would say to me is, I love you and I'm so proud of you. Yeah. Yeah. I have more conversations now with her more regularly. Yeah, you can come in. It's okay. But I invite you and I encourage you, and I don't need to tell you, you have to, because you already know the importance of just expressing, not only to your mothers, but to each, to you, to each other, how precious this life is, how short this life is, how quickly it is changing and will continue to change. And to embrace as best you can that we aren't going backwards. We can't go back. This is a start for us today. This is our maiden voyage, as we said in the instructions when you made your reservations. This is flying by the seat of our pants and almost actually literally flying off the hill today with the wind. But this is the juicy part. This is where love is pointing the way and saying, you have everything available in front of you now. Embrace it. Embrace it. It's not going to look like it used to. It's just not, and it's not supposed to. It's not supposed to. So thank you for being here today. Thank you for expressing the love, for doing the mask thing and the elbow thing. And I know I want to hug every single one of you and just a little while longer. But just absolutely, it's so good to see you. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Love Day. That is all that is happening, is love. In any given moment, it may not look like it, but we get the opportunity to lean in and say, yep, I'm going to choose to recognize the presence of love right now, right here. And I do that. It is so good to see you. I love you all very dearly, and I'm going to ask Jill to come do the meditation. So namaste to you all. Love you.
So in our opening song this morning, we sang about Feel the Love in the Sanctuary. And I think you probably know by now that sanctuary is wherever we make it. And so we are under the ceiling of the sky. the ceiling of the heavens. And so I invite you now to go ahead and be comfortable. Close your eyes if you wish. And let the breath of spirit, literally the breath of spirit, flow around you and past you. Just for a moment, listen to the sounds of the mother. The bird song, the movement of the branches. The way the wind sounds as it goes past your ears. And that beautiful fragrance that you're smelling. And notice how our lack of resistance to our surroundings and to ourselves allows us to open up to another place that is deep within us. Ah, the drone. So meditate as though you were being watched. Because in truth, you and God are meditating with each other and you are seen. You are seen by the very presence. Isn't that a wonderful feeling to know that your whole heart, your whole life, your history, the history of your body, the history of your actions, the history of your thoughts, all known to the divine and totally loved. That alone will break down all of our walls to allow ourselves to be touched by the Spirit of all life. Know that every time you consciously bring yourself into the presence of God, you acknowledge it, you open yourself to it, is a new experience. It may have elements of familiarity to your last time that you meditated. But it is new, it is brand new, because you are brand new and being reborn every moment. And if you will, just open your heart for a moment to the flow of memories and impressions of those who have nurtured you in your life, who have taught you and loved you, given you encouragement and inspiration. And just let those memories and impressions just flow through you, not clinging to anything. But with everyone, letting it be followed by a moment of gratitude. And so when that face or that memory comes to you, say thank you, and thank you. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for showing me who I am. Thank you for allowing me to be who I am. Thank you for your tough love and your gentle love. Thank you for that touch. Thank you for those embraces. Thank you for the times that your eyes met mine. And know that in the end, every single one of these impressions is another part of the face of God. Multifaceted, many colored, a prism of reflection and light. Now, with your heart full, I invite you to send out your nurturing love, your inspiration, your loving touch on those here, not here, on this earth, and no longer on this earth. Send it out. Bless those who have gone on to that fullness of glory already. Because those communications are as near and dear and real as the ones we can do in person. Now extend your blessing to all those nests full of baby birds and little eggs that haven't hatched, to the dens of little foxes, to the warrens of little rabbits. To the fish that are being spawned and hatching. To the green life that has survived a harsh winter and is flourishing, and bless that which did not. This is an old hymn that says, "For the beauty of the earth, fling your blessing far and wide on all that beauty, and renew your heart today to protect her, to love her, to nurture her." As this meditation comes to its end, I'd like to do what I've been doing for the last 14 months. Open my eyes and extend my hand to you. And to say thank you for the nurturing presence that you are in my life. Thank you for your love, your faithfulness, for your good hearts and your gentle friendship. Thank you, beloved ones, dear, dear people, all of you, and those of you who are not here with us this morning, for you too. For surely we are one, and we are forever. And so it is. Amen.